Byron's heart. Thank you for him always being prepared and always being ready to speak and speak your heart. So we just pray that you'd empower him now with your grace and your love and the great things that are going on. And so, Lord, we just give this time to you now, and we just are prepared for your future. We're prepared for your great things to happen. We're prepared to hear you, what you have got going on, because you always have that golden backbone of things in the center. You always have that golden backbone, even if things on the outside are challenging. And so we're looking for that today, and we thank you that Byron is the man that you have in front of us today to speak your heart. We just give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Nothing to read. The reason I say that, because growing up, I went to a Lutheran school, and they'd have us read publicly to the other students, and such fear would grip me. Such fear that it was like, and then I had to read to the other students, and they were rewarded if they could find mistakes, because you know what, I would see the word black would be written there, and I'd look at that word and see blue, and I would a little dyslexia, and I look at a word and I see a different word, but you know, thank the Lord, blessing, I could just put that. I don't have to read to you today. That's good. And the other thing is I one day many years ago, when the gathering place was starting, I was all prepped up, ready to go. I was driving to church, and the Holy Spirit says, "Byron, scrap it. I've got a different message for you to give." I said, "God, you got to be kidding. What is it? I'll let you know when you start talking." But I never knew there was going to be a visitor that day that needed to hear what came out of my mouth. Then most recently, we were at the men's retreat. And I'm all gangbusters to hear our speaker speak in the morning. And I can't wait for him to show up, because he was staying in the hotel and we were all in the farmhouse. So I see his car, so I go and greet him. I said, "Good morning, brother. I just can't wait to hear from you." "But you're not. God told me you're going to talk." I said, "You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I really don't know whether I'm going to completely get used to being put in the place of spontaneous." But the word says, be ready in every season. Be ready. What does it mean to be ready in every season? It means when the unexpected happens, God is saying, "I'll be there. I'll be there." That's being ready. That's being ready. Michelle, thank you so much for that testimony. But I was hearing there may be something that I'm saying that God shifted everything around just so you could hear. This morning, the subject was supposed to be the virgin birth. And it's the beautiful part of the Christmas story. And all kinds of supernatural was happening and all written down. But you know what? We just can't focus on Mary's visitation without first looking at Zacharias. Visitation, because this man and this woman encountered a message from heaven. You see, God is continually affirming His word. You know, that's the word we had this morning, that we would be overwhelmed with the love of God, and that God would affirm us. In anything that we're facing, any struggle we're facing, God's affirmation will be there for us. And as he affirms us, we'll just feel his love and presence. So let's start with Zacharias. Zacharias was in leadership. And it was his day to go into the Holy of Holies and bring and experience the presence of God and the offering. What he never expected that day is that an angel would appear. And he was amazed. All the years of serving God in the temple, all these years of serving God, this one was different. This one was different. And the angel of the Lord stood before him. And I love about the intimacy of our God. What did the angel say? He said, Zacharias. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he will call on every one of us individually by name. This morning, even while I was talking to Kel, he's saying, Byron. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because I'll fill your mouth. So he gets a message. He's up in age. And the other thing about his issue, they wanted children so bad. And I know people in this life that really want a child, and they can't conceive. And sometimes they go to adoption and other methods. I knew one couple that finally gave up, and they adopted a child, and then she got pregnant. So they had two children. So God is at work in our lives in amazing ways. And here he gets this information. And he's questioning. Do we question God? I wonder if we can relate to Zacharias. Do we have the whys coming up in our life? Why did you do this? Why is this happening? This is impossible. Why'd you do this to me? Why did sickness come? Why do I feel hopeless? You know what? The whys, and I'm sure Zacharias was full of his whys. And that feeds doubt. Whenever you and I get to that place to question the Almighty, question his motives, question what he's doing, that robs us of the life he wants to give us. I'm sure Zacharias is saying, why? Why now? We've been trying to have a child for years, our whole marriage. Why now? And an interesting event happened, because I'm sure Zacharias knew all about Abraham and Sarah. I'm sure just knowing the Word of God and being a priest in the position, he knew that a miraculous child was given to his father. They call him Father Abraham, the father of many nations. They longed for a child. And even Abraham and Sarah said, at our age? Maybe they said it like you. That's our age. We're going to have a child. Pretty bad, right? I think I do my Indian accent better. But, but anyhow, and then, you know, some people go after Sarah. She laughed. You can read the story, but we really don't know the source of the laughter. Was it a laughter of joy? Was it a laughter of unbelief? We don't know. It just says she laughed. But they didn't stop what was happening. And then, being a priest, he probably knew of Solomon and all the great writings that we call today as the Book of Proverbs. And he probably knew them and knew some of the things that were written down called wisdom. He probably knew that life and death were in the power of the tongue. He probably knew that. He probably captured a little bit when the angel came to him and said, Here, Zacharias, you're going to be a child, and it's all in the plan. It's all in the plan. You and your wife are about to become part of the prophetic word. Because there's going to be a forerunner to the Messiah, and it's going to be brought into your family, and you're going to have the honor and privilege of raising this young boy to become a prophet. What happened in that moment? Gabriel standing before Zechariah. He said, I'm going to shut your mouth. Because probably Gabriel knew through the Holy Spirit that he might talk himself out of everything God planned for him. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I think the encouragement to all of us this morning is to watch our tongue. God has amazing things ahead of you and I, and we don't want to stop what God is doing in our life. His mouth was shut. And it was open at the birth. When everybody was questioning the motives and what was happening and what was going on. Because it reminds me, I come from a Greek family. And boy, those Greeks can be rough. When you have, in a Greek family, when you have your firstborn son, the name must be the father's dad's name. My dad was named Andrew. And my wife, you know, see, I, in dating Nancy, when I come to realize really early in our relationship that she was in conflict with her father. She was in conflict with her father, and she was really kind of frustrated with him. So very early on as we started to date and had a relationship, I said, you know, my first responsibility as I'm dating, and I believe that this dating is going to become engagement, and this engagement is going to become wedding, and I could see that she was the one God had picked for me. I said, I think my first assignment during dating was reconnect Nancy with her dad. Reconnect Nancy with her dad. And I remember one time we'd go out to eat their dinner and stuff, and then we'd all go to her house and sit in the back den, watch TV. It was getting kind of late. And in marched his dad, her dad, John, big guy. He loved, you know what he loved to do? He loved to shake my hands, but you know why? When he shook my hand, what he loved about it most? He was a very strong, big hand. He loved to grab my hand, And what you think would normally men shake hands, but when he shook my hand, he would go, I would go, pain no longer. He'd crush my hand in it. What is this guy doing to me? You know, but one day Big John comes down in his robe, comes back in the back den, and standing tall, looks at Nancy and said, "You go to bed." Looks at me, "You go home." Turn around and left. It all actually almost brought Nancy into tears, because she thought that would have a negative effect on me. But in the idea of being a restorer to relationship, I told Nancy, "It's okay. It's getting late. Your dad really loves you, and he loves me, and I'm going home." So, Zechariah, his mouth was shut until John was born. I had a son, and I was being pressured by my Greek family and anxious to hear that boy will be named Andrew. And it brought shockwaves to the Greek family. His name is John. That name came out of my love for my wife. And it also had an attachment of restoring the relationship of my wife with her father. And I said, "It's good. It's okay." Then I started getting on my knees. I said, "We need another boy." And Nancy, drive Nancy crazy. I said, "You know, when we have another child, it's going to be a boy. Because I'm going to get my Andrew. Because God honors us when we honor him and others." And I'm watching my time, because I'm so glad there's a lot of sharing. When you're asked to talk off the cuff, you say, how much can we say? Well, in that Christmas story, we have all this activity going on with Zechariah, Elizabeth, and God promising them a son. God instructing, even before it happened, that son's name will be John, which wasn't in Jewish or Greek tradition. It was breaking with tradition. But and poor Zacharias, he couldn't say anything about it. He was hearing all the information. "Oh, I can't wait till the boy's in," and all this stuff. And when the baby was born, and they're all wondering what the name of that baby would be. It's got to be in the family line. His voice came back. "The child's name is John." It's very important to follow through with the instructions God gives us, even if it means breaking tradition. Amen? Well, while all this was happening, and remember, it takes 9 months for these babies to show up. So a lot of other things are happening, because in a little town, there was a young teenager that, we don't hear a lot about Mary, but by her actions, we can tell she really had a heart for God. And she really had a heart to follow what he says. So that same angel, all of a sudden, 6 months later, I think there was 6 months difference, comes and visits her. And says, "Mary, Mary. Again, the name. The name. Remember, God knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows all about you. He knows your failures. He knows your successes. And he knows everything about you. And God wants to use you for his kingdom. Ha! So Mary's maybe out in the field and totally surprised. Angels stand up. And he says, you're blessed. Now let me tell you a little bit something. You are going to fulfill Scripture. Because as a young girl, you may know, but way back in Isaiah, remember that Isaiah prophet guy? He said, a virgin will bear a son. We don't know for sure, but we know she had a heart towards God. But then she heard a miraculous event was going to take place in her life. And she was really saying, when he says, you're going to have a child, maybe her mind went, oh, me and Joseph are going to get married, and wow, we're hearing all this, and we're going to have a child, and that child's going to be, oh, wow. Before her mind would ever start running into the human possibilities of what could happen, the angel said, no, you are going to give birth to the Son of the living God when the Holy Spirit comes and takes this Jesus out of heaven and brings him to earth. Whoa. I wonder where her mind went then before she spoke. Life and death and power of tongue. Contemplate and think about things before you speak. I'm sure things are running in her mind. And said, whoa, how am I ever going to explain this to the hometown? Meaning to tell me I'm going to give birth to the Son of God without a man? You're trying to tell me something that is so unnatural? Who knows what was going through her mind? But you know what? Mary was careful. It says she pondered these things in her heart. That means she was thinking through what she just heard and threw out the negative and said, let it be unto me as you have spoken. That's what came out of her mouth. That's what came out of her mouth. Well, she went away and she went to go visit Elizabeth. And she knew, ladies, you know when you're pregnant, right? Yeah, you, right? No mistake, right? Yeah. So and she knew something had happened, and she knew that she was pregnant. And she knew no man, that she was a virgin. But you know what? I'm sure she was thinking all this through her mind. She was saying, you know, what is the total outcome of all this? What's the total outcome of all this? Part of the story has something to do with Elizabeth. I think I got to pay her a visit. So she traveled and visited Elizabeth. When Elizabeth saw her, she ran to her and said, guess what? Your little babies can praise God. Even while they're nice and comfortable in there. It's very important to sing and praise God and put your hand over your baby and communicate to them. Because there's a lot of negative business going on, but as long as you're carrying that baby, you speak life to that child. So she, that's the story. Because Elizabeth runs to Mary and said, when I saw you coming from a distance and coming to my village, the baby within me leaped for joy. And I think that was a really defining moment in Mary's life, that she totally placed everything she heard about what was going to happen to her in her heart. Because now the toughest thing was ahead of her. Joseph didn't know anything about this when she visited Elizabeth. How am I going to explain this to Joseph? How am I going to explain this to the village? One thing about being in a little village, everybody knows what's happening. And there we have an illustration where she could be concerned about, remember we were warned in Scripture, no gossip. No chatter. Now that she had affirmation, remember I said, Lord's fill us with love. He wants to affirm us. I think Mary, when she had that time with Elizabeth, got affirmation. And with that affirmation, and knowing the God of love was just all over her life, now she can go back to the town and face opposition. I'm sure there was a lot of talk about town, about how she got pregnant. Even Joseph questioned it and struggled a little bit until God visited him in a dream. Remember last time when I preached, I said, man alive, I woke up in the morning, I said, how come you didn't give me any dreams about a message? And I guess I can complain to God once in a while. But I said, how could you do this? I kind of depend on you speaking to me in my sleeping hours. Because after all, the Scripture says old men dream dreams. Amen, right? Amen. So, but then, just then, God affirmed his love for me. As I mentioned last Sunday, and it really stuck with me for a whole week, how I was trying to protect this little guinea pig from this ferocious bulldog. Then God reminded me, it was one of those affirming moments where he said, now I'll talk to you. Remember how you were so concerned about that guinea pig? How the bulldog could end that life so quickly? And he said something that moved me to no end. It was an affirmation time. I love you way more. Than your care over my little creation, guinea pig. When Mary was affirmed by Elizabeth, she went into town that with confidence that what God began in her will continue it to her whole life. So she could face the gossip. She could face shame and condemnation from men and women. And she had no idea how Joseph was going to respond. How in the world will my betrothed understand supernatural birth? And you know what? Humanly, he didn't, until God visited him in a dream and said, Joseph, take her. she bears the Son of the living God. And then learning to listen to his voice and learning to walk in his direction, learning to take orders from headquarters, even meant protecting the Son of the living God when born as planned in the town of Bethlehem. Back to dreams. Joseph, get out of town. Go to Egypt and protect the child because they want to kill him. He woke up now understanding he had a dream, take Mary as your wife. Now a dream, protect the child that's in her and go to Egypt. Only to fulfill scripture that the Son of the living God would come out of Egypt. We're going to end here. We're going to end here in a message, but we're going to start with all of us raising our faith in a God that's passionately in love with us. And no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how many doubts may come, how many frustrations will come, no matter what is happening in my life, in your life, we will be careful to declare that we have a God that will take us through any and all difficulties. And we will only speak our identity through his word, what he says about you and me. And remember that there's no difficulty any of us can face that he is not bigger than that difficulty. Remember the Christmas story, and it began with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Remember the watch, the words we say. We remember to, even what seems impossible, we will say, let it be done as you have said. Amen?
Quickly. At work, we became good friends. And we worked right around his folks, back to his wife. And everybody believed in stuff, including myself. You know, no. But the story, they did that back then.
Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. Isn't God wonderful? You know, and sometimes, you know, I'm sitting here this morning and saying, here it was, Cal and I met in the hallway, and all right, you're up. And I'll just let you know, something, as I'm prepared, when it's actually my time to speak, I guess it was my time to speak, but you know, I get dreams, I get downloads, and I have to sort through it all. And now God's calling, saying, "No, just don't. I'll start downloading some stuff, but just start talking, and I'll throw out a message. And I hope it was meaningful to you, Michelle. And just God bless you. Thank you. I could hardly walk up here when you were sharing about what we did many years ago. I did everything to hold back tears about how faithful God is and how he had given us an opportunity to speak in that time of our life to many, many young people. And thank you. And that's just so reminded me of his faithfulness and goodness. And we just got to keep moving on with him. And Father, so Father God, bless all of us in Jesus' name. And Twilight, come up here. And Father God, that we would know that you are for us and not against us. We're more than conquerors, aren't we, Catherine? Yes, we are. In Jesus' name, Lord, we serve a God that will complete our destiny in our life. Please, please, hear what I said. Don't shortchange him with negative confession. Please. Believe he will do everything he promised you. He'll take you through every difficulty. And nothing's too hard for him to do. Nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.